In the name of the God who loves us, creates us, and sanctifies us. What is the greatest problem in the church today? Church attendance dwindling? Controversies over gender, prayer books, church politics, challenging and nurturing a corrupt world? Those are, as God knows, crucial, and they deserve our focused and consecrated best. But there is a bigger answer that subsumes them all. The greatest problem in today's church is resistance to the Holy Spirit. Resistance to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a raging fire, and we do everything we can to smother it. The Spirit is a mighty flood, and we try pitifully to wade upstream. The Spirit is a hurricane, and we bundle up our coats and struggle against it. Such a waste of power. It's Holy Thursday, so let's discuss commandments. What does the church teach about the commandments? Well, the catechism is the foundational document for the teaching of the church. So let us turn to the catechism. In 1928, as some of you will remember, the child being confirmed was asked to recite the Ten Commandments, which is all well and good, but it's scarcely Christian teaching. Anthropologists tell us that no culture ever has not had some version of these. They are etched into our human nature, and you and I know them by heart. No need to rehearse them. You must not murder, commit adultery, steal, lie maliciously, or disrespect what belongs to another. And it does not hurt to be reminded of them. But now, the 1979 Catechism. A prominent professor once called it a decaffeinated catechism. And that smug, snide remark is what many people think. It is also a fine example of resistance to the Holy Spirit, who works through our church. What does the Catechism 79, the current catechism, say about the commandments? Not to refrain from things, but to show respect for the life God has given us, to work and pray for peace, to bear no malice, prejudice, or hatred in our hearts, and to be kind to all the creatures of God. That's 6. To use all our bodily desires as God desires. That's 7. To be honest and fair in our dealings. To seek justice, freedom, and the necessities of life for all people. And to use our talents and possessions as ones who must answer for them to God. That's 8. To speak the truth, and not to mislead others by our silence. That's 9. To resist temptations to envy, greed, and jealousy, to rejoice in other people's gifts and graces, and to do our duty for the love of God, who has called us into fellowship with Him. Does that sound weak to you? Look more closely. Which really is more difficult, to do more murder or to bear no malice or prejudice in the heart, to not commit adultery, or to use all our bodily desires, not just sexual, but drink, food, sleep, warmth, motion, breath, as God desires, never to steal, or to seek justice, freedom, and the necessities of life for others, never to lie, or always to speak the truth, even when that's risky. Not to covet or to rejoice in other people's gifts. Decaffeinated indeed. That's more like a double shot of espresso. And it's more like Christ's commandments, which are always harder than the Ten Commandments. He reverses them. He tells us not what to avoid, but what to do. And in every single case, that makes it harder. The Holy Spirit has been urging us forward in just this way for decades, but we resist it, or him, or her. We cling to the old way because it's easier. And because it is always easier to cling to what we're used to and say, let's not change a thing. Even in our services. Which service in Holy Week, everywhere, normally, has the smallest attendance? This one. And why? Because the foot washing, and in many places, even the altar of repose, seems new to people. Even though the Holy Spirit has invited us into those holy things. Jesus did not make that old law obsolete. He did make it obsolete, but he did not leave us lawless. He gave us new commandments. Now, tonight, of course, is the Maundy, the great Novum Mandatum, as Father John David reminded us in his letter today. We really should call it Commandment Thursday, because that's what it is. What commandment, then, is it? As so often in our faith, the answer is threefold. Three commandments Jesus issues tonight. Number one, he says, do not do as the Gentiles do. Among the Gentiles, it is the kings who lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are given the title benefactor. With you, this must not happen. No, the greatest among you must behave as if he were the least, the leader as if he were the one who serves. Let's translate that into 21st century language. Do not do as the secular culture does. The greatest of you among you must behave as if she or he were the least, the leader as if he or she were the one who serves. Tonight's first motif is our recollection of that. Behave as if you were sent to serve, because you were. Perhaps begin with us clergy. One truly well-theologized, if I can make up a word, bishop, once said, ordination is demotion. We are demoted from the royal priesthood and placed in the role of service to the body of Christ. Do not look up to us. Look to us to serve you, as catalysts for your own faith and service. The powerful act of service that Father John and Father Patrick will do tonight is an unmistakable sign of that fact. That's what clergy are trained to do. That's what we are commissioned to do. Your service is to the world. You serve as representatives of Christ in whatever role you play in this ruined world. You are that royal priesthood. You stand between the world and its maker. The Gentiles, that is, the seculars, do not do so. They don't serve the world. They take from it. They exploit it. Do not do as they do, Christ tells us tonight. Number two, he says, this is my body. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me. This is my body. Let those words resonate for a moment on this wonderful night when he says those words. We should not, cannot, and do not try to determine how that works, because it deserves the dignity of mystery. But what it means is plain. God offers God's self in the most intimate, concrete, and staggering way. Take, eat. And do this, he then says, in remembrance of me. Remembrance is really too limp of a word, too weak. This is not merely a vivid way to remind ourselves of Jesus. The real word in the gospel, we can't translate it because we don't have a word for it in English, but it's anamnesis. It means not merely remember, but cease to forget. It means to step into eternity and bring the past and the future into the present in one whole. That's what we worship. In other words, as you watch and listen and take and eat tonight, do not think, now I remember what Christ did. Think, now I see what Christ is doing. And number three, he says, love one another as I have loved you. This is the hard one. Everyone hears that, love one another, and says, well, that sounds just lovely. But they don't hear, as I have loved you. Remember how Jesus treated the disciples? How he loved them? Think it through. As I have loved you, what exactly does that mean? Remember, he's not speaking to clueless crowds tonight. He's not speaking to the lame and the broken. He's talking to his disciples, people like us. He did not love them this way. I accept you just as you are. Not disciples. He did not comfort or coddle or cuddle them. He challenged them at every turn of his path. He had a mission for them, and he wanted to prepare them to do it. He wanted men and women to be strong disciples. Now, of course, any minute when any of us are broken, sick, lonely, angry, or hurting in any way, he will gladly heal you. He's dying to heal you. But if you wish to be his disciple, and I think you do, expect his love to be tough. And further, love for any other human being, that's other disciples, inquirers, strangers, atheists, anyone, does not mean feeling warm and accepting and affirming. That's for the secularists. That's for the prevailing culture, but it's not for us. Love in the gospel sense is putting another person's needs, feelings, preferences, wishes, thoughts ahead of our own. It is carrying out your baptismal covenant to recognize Christ in each and every human being that you encounter. And that is the most difficult command to carry out. In fact, it is humanly impossible. Our human nature is wired for self-preservation, and that's as it should be. But we also have a more than human nature, because we are made in God's image. And we have God's help to do it in the person of the Holy Spirit. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit, and you will be able to love. And that is what will make the Ten Commandments unnecessary. Several years ago, Father Patrick explained this in adult ed class. If you truly, truly assimilate the new covenant, you no longer need the old. If you truly love your neighbor, he said, it is impossible for you to break any of the old commandments. You can't do it. The third commandment, to love one another. We do not enact or reenact tonight in church. We obey that third commandment after we are dismissed. When we walk through the doors tonight, back onto the street, back to our friends, loved ones, co-workers, strangers, enemies, and rivals, let us obey that greatest commandment and love them. Be open to the Spirit. As Gregory of Nyssa said, be porous to God's Spirit. Bask in that raging fire. Bathe in that mighty flood. And feel the power of that hurricane. In the name of the God who loves us, creates us, and sanctifies us.